So the thing that Rob and Michelle to do was that he was supposed to ask a really tricky question, well, why are the banks holding so much capital? I mean, why pick on us? And then Stephen could have come up and said, well, why are the wealth managers? And okay, so our next speaker is, of course, Stephen Munchenberg, who is the chief executive of the Australian Bankers Association. And I guess that if the Financial System Inquiry does come up with something radical or frightening, a lot of people suspect that it may be something that affects banks. So Stephen has his job cut out for him. He's got an illustrious career at various places, including NAB, so I think the Bankers Association is in good hands. I noticed that the Bankers Association had a 121-page submission, but the Insurance Council had 31-page submission. So obviously the Banking Association is very worried about the inquiry. So please give Stephen Munchenberg a big round of applause.
Naomi. It was an interesting exercise at the beginning where you're having people sort of revealing how long their memories were or whatever they've been doing. While you were doing it, it gave me cause to think about what I was actually doing at the time. So in 1979, I was still in high school and had hair down to my shoulders in a really bad fashion sense, and dreaming of becoming a geologist, which I went on to do. In 1996-97, I was working with the mining industry as an environmental lawyer. So I stand before you today as an environmental lawyer and geologist to talk about the banking industry. So that's my credentials. The other interesting thing, and most people have done it in the conversations today, is when they look back at Campbell, they very quickly say, ah, yes, Campbell was about deregulation of the financial system. And then when they look back at Wallace, they sort of say, ah, yes, Wallace was about the regulatory architecture. And I'm guessing when they look back at Napier, it was, well, anyone who does, was it was about introducing regulation, I suppose, to what had previously been an entirely commercial and unregulated activity. That's an important question, because at some point in time people are going to look back and say, what was Murray about? And knowing both David Murray and also Joe Hockey, who's commissioned this, I think they will both want there to be a bit of a landmark answer to that question. Now, David Murray has sort of indicated already what he thinks it should be about, and I'm pleased to hear him say it. He's basically said, look, this inquiry should be about making sure we've got a blueprint for the financial system going forward, and in particular, an important point, that we are confident that the financial system in future will serve the economy, because that is what the financial system is about. So we've very much taken that approach ourselves. This whole inquiry is about making sure that the financial system we have in Australia serves the economy as well as it possibly can. And I'm hoping in 10, 15 years' time, when people are standing up here and talking about the Brogdon Inquiry or the Whelan Inquiry, because it won't be the Munchenberg Inquiry, I can guarantee it, they'll be looking back and saying, ah, yes, the Murray Inquiry. Now, one of the reasons why Australia is enjoying, you know, our 35th year of continuous economic annual growth is because, in part, the Murray Inquiry laid down that blueprint for making sure that the financial system served the economy in the best way that it could. So that's very much the approach that we're taking. Now, it won't surprise you, I suppose, to know that when we look at how well the system has been serving the economy since the Wallace Inquiry, since Ian and his colleagues handed in their report back in March of 1997, when I was off playing with the miners, that in that time we think that the financial system has actually served the Australian economy very well. So for the decade after the Wallace Inquiry, a decade of largely good times with a few bumps along the way with the tech wreck and everything, the system actually served the changing Australian economy well. And the system also served the Australian economy well through the global financial crisis. So, you know, as people have said elsewhere, one of the biggest and realest shock tests or stress tests you can place on the financial system. And we actually came through it relatively well, and for a number of reasons. One is because we actually did have very good regulators, and in particular, very good supervision by those regulators. We had very well managed banks, and we did have a very sound fiscal position in government, amongst other things. We had a government at the time that acted very quickly to deal with some of the issues as they emerged as well. So the system has served us well. So the first recommendation we've actually made to the Murray Inquiry is don't stuff up those bits that are already working. Now, it sort of seems, you know, well, he'd obviously say that, but it is actually a very important point. We do need to acknowledge and recognise those bits that work well and make sure that whatever changes we make to deal with the challenges that we will face in future, we don't lose what is already working. Now, we've then gone on to identify four areas where we can see some potential future challenges, where we do believe that change is needed to meet those challenges, and I'll run very quickly through those. The first one is funding the actual economy. So one of the things the GFC showed us was that we can't rely on Australia necessarily being able to raise the money it needs to fund the economy. We were able to do that through the GFC as it happens, in part because of deft responses from government and in part because of the management of the funding by the banks. But we can't take it for granted that that will always be the case. We now know that markets providing funding into economies can be disrupted. We don't think that there are clear and present threats to the funding of the economy. We don't think necessarily that there will be a problem in future. But when you look at how important it is for the economy to get the funding that it needs, then we think it's prudent to put in place measures to mitigate against possible disruption in future. And that simply means we need to make sure that in Australia, our banks and other parts, I'll come back to the banks, our banks, but also through other sources, we have as many different sources of funding available and as high quality sources of funding as we possibly can. And mostly that'll be about funding the banks at this stage, because most of the money going into the economy is intermediated through the banks. So that's the first one. Putting in place some risk mitigation measures to make sure that the economy won't face a funding challenge in future, no matter what the world throws at us. The second area is competition. Now, it was fairly inevitable that competition was going to be on the agenda. Just about everyone outside of the banking system wants competition on the agenda, and not more than, you know, more than a few within the banking system want competition on the agenda. All of the Australian banks that are members of the ABA agree, all of the banks that are members of this, of the ABA, not just Australian ones, agree that we do in fact have competitive markets in Australia, and that's an important point to make. But that's not to say that we should be complacent about competition. Competition is vitally important to delivering better products and services to our customers, whether they're households or businesses of whatever size. And so again, we can't just sort of sit on the performance of the past few years. We need to make sure that we're looking for ways of enhancing competition further. Now, individual banks are going to have a very different view about what needs to be done, depending on where they sit in the market and depending on their commercial strategies and everything. But we do want the inquiry to look at what can be done to enhance competition further, notwithstanding that we have competitive markets at the moment. The third area is, again, reasonably predictably, is regulation. Now, we're not going to push to have a wind back of the regulation that we've seen added to the industry over the last few years. The last 5 or 6 years has seen a torrent or tidal wave of new regulation coming from international rulemaking as a result of the GFC in particular, and understandably so, coming at a domestic level here in Australia. And a third front that's opened up for banks in Australia is regulation being put in place by the US Congress, because the US administration or Congress doesn't seem to recognise that the US has borders. They think they pass rules that apply to the whole world. And any of those who have been dealing with things like FATCA and swap deals and everything can tell you all about that another time. It's not all that interesting, but it is unfortunately very real. So we've seen an awful lot of regulation. There's no point in going back and re-fighting a lot of the fights that we've won and lost around that regulation. But we do want to make sure that we have quality regulation going forward, because regulation, particularly of complex systems, can be and is very distortionary. Now, the reason I emphasise complex systems is because the financial system is just that. It is a highly complex network system. Now, what that means is when you make a change in anywhere in that system, inevitably it's going to have knock-on consequences, and almost inevitably you're not going to be able to predict what they are. So that means that regulators and governments need to be very cautious in making changes, because there will be unintended consequences, And we need to be confident that those unintended consequences don't actually outweigh the concerns that we've had. We are frustrated that a lot of regulation that's been brought in has been mono-issue specific, by which I mean, clumsy term, but by which I mean it has been put in place to deal with one particular issue without regard to its broader consequences. So, for example, and understandably, we've had a lot of regulation imposed to increase stability in the system. It'd be mad if we didn't, given the financial crisis. But nonetheless, all of that regulation has been put in place with only the stability of the system in mind and little regard for the competitiveness, the innovativeness, or the efficiency of the system. The fourth area is a bit of a learning curve for me, I have to admit, and that's technology. The ABA itself has not tended to be involved in technology recently. We're learning a lot about it. I've been having very long and deep and meaningful discussions with my own personal IT and advisor, my 14-year-old daughter, who understands this sort of thing and has to explain it all to me. Technology is an interesting one. There is something that we can be absolutely certain about technology, and that is it is going to absolutely transform banking very, very quickly over the next few years. That process has already started. That is the only thing, however, that we can be certain about. We have no idea where technology is going to take us. Overall, I believe that technology is going to be positive for consumers. It's going to sharpen competition, as it opens up new areas for banks to compete with each other, but also as new players come into parts of the banking system. It's going to empower consumers much more because more and more they're going to have control of their banking at their fingertips. And it presents some interesting challenges for banks themselves because people are now bringing expectations to their banking that they develop in other areas. They expect to be able to pick up a device, quickly do what they want to do, and it all happens. And that's what they're expecting increasingly from their banks. Given this is an inquiry about what government should do, the focus we're taking on technology is to present a challenge, and we'll try and work out what the answer is ourselves, but certainly at this stage to present a challenge to regulators and to governments. And that challenge is, if the only thing we know about technology is it is going to be hugely transformative, that those changes are going to happen faster and faster and faster, how do you regulate effectively in that environment? Because the changes we're going to see in technology are going to occur more quickly than regulators have got any hope of understanding them, working out what needs to be done, going through the political process and putting in place new regulations to deal with these changes. By the time they do that, they'll already be out of date. So to give you a little illustration, as we were putting our submission together, we were sort of looking at when various things came out, and we discovered that it was only 4 years ago that the first iPad came out. I mean, they seemed to, me at least, been around for a long time. I was at a presentation about 12 months ago at one of the big accounting firms where they were talking about strategy, and they said, at that point, now, if a bank had put in place an IT strategy 5 years ago, so going back 6 years now, if they put a five-year strategy in place, and we're now at the end of that time, they would have completely missed smartphones as well as all the iPods and iPads and all those sorts of things. So it's a huge challenge just for banks, and an even more enormous challenge for regulators to how they operate in that environment. So we think that is a really important issue for the inquiry to resolve so that we can be confident we get the benefits of technology but without some of the risks that may be associated with it. So that's where we're going to. I hope at the end of this exercise we can have confidence that the financial system will continue to serve the Australian economy and the prosperity that delivers as well as it has over the last 17 years. Thank you.